Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hopefully it's beautiful where you are. This is so exciting. This is the beauty of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I'll tell you why. You can plan the show, but you always have to have a plan B and plan C. So instead of 3 o'clock, a couple of hours from now, that Lisa McLowry is going to be on, guess what? She's here now, having just arrived from Nash, Vegas, everybody.
Well, thank you for adjusting the time for me. I really appreciate that.
Oh, my God, are you kidding? Lisa, look, I have been wanting to follow up from our Cool Jazz Conversations situation a few months ago because, honest to gosh, this gal, ladies and gentlemen, and the chat room is filling up, I see, this gal has been on it ever since Lisa McLowry sings Acoustic Alchemy. You've been doing your thing. You've been playing all around Chicago, which is the normal state of affairs, but you've been doing other things, and you've become this supreme entrepreneur. I love that. You and your beautiful mess T-shirts. You want to explain that? I love it.
You are now a proud owner of one of those T-shirts. Well, yes, my life has turned in. First of all, let me say, Beautiful Mess is one of the songs off the new album. Lisa McLowry sings Acoustic Alchemy. And I love the name so much because it fit, first of all, my life and a lot of other people around me that I see. You know, to me, Beautiful Mess simply means that you have an attitude about life that life doesn't have to be perfect, and it really never is, no matter how hard we try to make life perfect. And it's always going to be a little bit messy, and that's the beauty of life. And it's just really a matter of switching your attitude from, okay, well, I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm going to find the humor in the mess because it is around us no matter what we do. And that's why I wanted to make T-shirts, because there's a certain humor to it. You know, embracing the beautiful mess that we are and the beautiful mess that life is. So it's just really having a positive outlook on life. And the T-shirt to me is a reminder of that. And I wanted to start out with T-shirts, and then later on there'll be other fun apparel. You know, but we're having a great time with these T-shirts. And I'm noticing as people wear them, they take on a certain attitude, honestly. And I think you kind of said the same thing. Felt kind of sexy in it, and
I did. And I have to say, I mean, without explaining what I just explained to you in private conversation, that when I wore this shirt at Wolf Trap last week, a couple of things were really evident. Had on a pair of new black skinny jeans and that shirt, it was cooking. And yes, and there were a few women of varying ethnic backgrounds, and I love that, who came up to me and said, oh, my God, you have to tell me where you got that, because, and this is what they said, I'm a beautiful mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I went,
owning that.
Yes.
You're owning that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that was cool.
It takes the pressure off, doesn't it? When you just embrace that, I am a beautiful mess, and darn it, I like that.
That's exactly right. And then, my God, the men noticing, that was a whole different story, because there was a table full of testosterone after the show with Stanley and George, and I noticed that a few different pairs of eyes were on me, and some of the wives didn't appreciate that.
Well, if I must say, you know, the women's cut T-shirt, the font, the Beautiful Mess gold font, sits in a very good place. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it gives you a little lift in the correct areas, if you know what I'm saying.
How
and
about
we
that?
We were very strategic. Notice we were very strategic where we placed the font. And just like
look
I said,
at you.
A little lift. Yeah. It took a lot of time to figure out where that font is going to lie. It's the optical illusion of the lift.
You are a charge. Oh, my God. That's why. Well, look, this CD is just jumping out of the box, isn't it? Oh, my God. The more I listen, the more I love it, Lisa. I really do.
I, I am so happy that people are embracing this the way that they are, and it's full of positive messages. I mean, that's what my music is all about. When I get out there and perform, the whole hope is that, or when people are playing the CD in their cars or at home, is just to take them from, if they're feeling down, this is going to make you feel good. This positive message, it's thought-provoking, and just a whole lot of heart and soul went into this.
Now, let me ask a question. This was one of the pivotal questions I wanted to ask you. I love the fact that you've been collaborating for so long with Jim Peterik. That
mm-hmm.
is so awesome, and you and he get each other so much. He yeah. loved Acoustic Alchemy, and he thought it might be an idea to gravitate to see if you can flesh out some collaborations. Now, how did Acoustic Alchemy feel when you approached them with this idea?
Well, it appeared that they were okay with it. I'm sure there was probably some curiosity or maybe a little worry because, you know, these were basically taking their wonderful hits and now adding another dimension to it, a lyric, maybe changing things here and there ever so slightly, and I think it would only be natural, although it's never been confirmed, it would only be natural for them to feel a little curious, maybe a little uncomfortable, but in the long run, after we recorded this, we did this, you know, they were in London, we were here in Chicago, and we would be passing messages back and forth via email and sending MP3s back and forth to London, and they'd do a track and send it back to us. During that process, we did get to know each other better, but yet still hadn't met each other. And it wasn't until recently where we played in Seattle together for the first time. Oh, it was just really grand, you know, to finally get together with them. And to there was a spark going on. You know, you could definitely feel it in the room.
Mm.
There was a deeper connection than just, you know, two people getting together for the first time. We were reading each other very well on stage and off stage, and it was, you know, for lack of a better term, it was for me kind of like a very, very spiritual experience because we were so connected musically on stage and off stage. And then we took that show basically a few days later back to Chicago, my hometown, and we did it all over again, not for a live audience, but for a webcast, and it was the first time we had ever done a webcast with them, and the first time we ever did a webcast here in Chicago, and we had so many people tune in, so it was very nice to see that level of excitement for a new project and people wanting to see us perform together. And I think it was shortly after my talk with
yes.
you and Joy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was, and Michael Tazzi had everything to do with that webcast, correct?
He had a lot to do with that webcast, yes. It was through iJazz Global and
yes.
And various people on the Chicago end, too, Colin Piedrick. And Greg Bizarro is the one who filmed it. He's the person who's directed my last few music videos. Come Dancing was one of the videos, and Brand New Hallelujah. So it was a lot of the same people on our team, and what a team it is. Behind
oh,
the
yeah.
It makes a big difference, as you know. I mean, you have to have a strong team. And people who really care about the project and the music, and it makes a difference.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, especially when you're doing something like this, because, Lisa, here's the thing. It's so fascinating to me because, you know, here's Miles and Greg from Acoustic Alchemy, and they are, I don't know if I'd necessarily use the word for Acoustic Alchemy. I don't know if I'd necessarily use subdued, but it's the first word that comes to mind because they had a certain vibe when they first came out. And here's you. To me, I consider you so multidimensional, so multi-genre. I mean, your influences were Ella Fitzgerald and Steve Perry and Ann Wilson, for God's sake. So
all over the place.
All over the place. And you, when you sing, you've taken these Acoustic Alchemy songs and you've made them to my ears these hybrid operas, these little
yeah.
pieces of opera, and they
that.
must, I do too, they must have been stunned when they heard their songs given this life so that they can see a movie or a play unfold when you sing.
Well, I do know by the time we were done, you know, with our Seattle tour and then again back here in Chicago, I mean, I knew for sure that they felt extremely good about what we had created. And again, it was hard to gauge that when you hadn't met them in person. And, of course, people are usually polite from a distance. But when you're in the same room and you are doing something as intimate as creating music, you know, on stage, there's no hiding how one feels about what they're doing. And so it was very, very evident and obvious that they were happy with what I had done to their songs and what Jim had done to the songs. So I was on cloud nine after that little part of the tour. So, yes, Miles and Greg were very, very happy, as was their manager, Stuart Cokeshead. And that was very
Love that name.
Yeah, me too. It's memorable. Stuart Cokeshead. I always say it with the accent, Stuart Cokeshead from London.
Yeah, it's a whole different vibe as far as the feel is concerned. I just love the idea that people get together from different countries, and when it meshes like this, it's just heaven, you know.
Well, if I may add here, when you said they're a bit subdued, you know, I also looked at them in that way, and it's a very positive way to be. You know, as performers, when I've seen their live performances, and I've seen their live performances in person without meeting them, when I wasn't working on a project with them, and what I took it as, these are real musicians, highly respected. They carry themselves very casually on stage, but there's a seriousness to what they do. And I'm a little bit different in my shows. I'm dynamic, and it's real high energy one moment, and then there's moments of romance and, you know, keeping it more low key. And I was really curious, how is this going to work, putting, you know, me together with them, with our styles being very different. And one of my goals, you've seen Greg perform, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's not a big mover with the hips or anything like that. When he's playing the guitar, he's, you know, more serious. And my goal was to see, you know, can we get him, you know, to change a little bit while he's up there on stage? You know, what if I, you know, put my shoulder against his shoulder and do the air guitar thing? What would happen? So it did bring out a different side in him to bring in a new ingredient during a live performance, being myself. Being that ingredient I speak of, and it brought out something different in me too. So it usually happens when you bring two musicians together, and they're very different. One musician is going to take on some of the characteristics of the other, and vice versa, and then that makes it its own entity, its own recipe.
Well, and then you've got two very significant factors going on. First of all, you're female and you're beautiful. That's number one. Number two, you're an actress. So I relate to that totally because I went to Temple University and I studied theater for 4 years. So
4 years? Wow.
Yes, I get it. You bring something to them that they had probably not experienced. You have acted. You are an actress. You bring these songs to life in a way that they figured just by writing them and performing them it was enough, but then they saw a whole new dimension. So it probably took a little bit to get used to, but I'm just imagining them being so thrilled because they never expected this.
They never did expect it. They have said that, and I know that they were very happy. I could see it on their face as we were performing the songs. Because there's just no hiding that kind of thing.
Yes.
When you're performing so intimately with somebody on stage. So I was thrilled, and internally I just took a good breath of relief. You know that they really love what they're hearing here. I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled. I want to play with them again very soon. It was that special.
Well, I know that there's going to be those opportunities, and I'm going to ask you about different things that you're doing, but I wanted to play a song in case folks hadn't heard. I couldn't one of those situations again. I couldn't decide, so I have a few songs here. And you mentioned Brand New Hallelujah. Could we do that?
Let's do Brand New Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. You go ahead.
I would love to. And that was originally called Passionnel. That was Acoustic Alchemy's original title. And then we retitled it Brand New Hallelujah. And that was the melody was originally from their Positive Thinking album back in 1998, for those who are, you know, Acoustic Alchemy fans. And then again, we retitled it Brand New Hallelujah, and it has a very universal meaning. And it's not a religious song. It's just a song about recognizing what's going on in the world and looking at it from a new viewpoint, a positive viewpoint. And that's what Brand New Hallelujah means.
It's really precious. This is Lisa McLowry from her CD. Lisa McLowry sings Acoustic Alchemy, Brand New Hallelujah on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Lisa McLowry, Brand New Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, Lisa, it does sound a little like church to me. I love it.
Thank you. And, you know, I just got some news while I was out in Nash, Vegas, like we were saying. Not only have pitched this song basically to the smooth jazz world, but also to the inspirational gospel and actually some country stations, believe it or not. And we just found out yesterday that Brand New Hallelujah reached number 75 in the top 100 of the inspirational charts, which is equivalent to the Billboard charts.
Oh, yes.
But it hit 75 in the first week. Now, normally it takes about 4 weeks to hit that position. And all that tells me is people, you know, were in need of this kind of inspiring song. And it has a worldly view, and I think it's just a perfect time to have that out there with all that's going on in the world right now. We need hope, and we need something that's going to uplift us.
That's right. You know what? That is fabulous. And once you catch on, I know what it was like to have lived in Nashville. I lived there twice. And Nashville is a real big town. People have a perception that is not quite correct about what Nashville is all about, because it's more than just country. There's a lot of jazz people there. There's a lot of folks who are involved in adult contemporary music and a lot of gospel and inspirational music.
Absolutely. And that's really the reason I was there this past time was for the inspirational Christian side of things. But, you know, as I drove into Nashville, I heard people with their car radios, windows down, listening to rock, hard rock. So it just, it's just all styles of music out there.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, I've got some friends that are really making inroads about launching or relaunching clubs that had been dormant. Nashville is called Music City. That doesn't have country in the title. It's all-encompassing, Music City. So a lot of these clubs aren't necessarily country clubs, although there are lots of them, but places where you can go and hear acoustic music, and that could be anything from inspirational to light rock to pop, standards, whatever. It's really exciting, the town.
It is exciting. It's not. I've been there several times, and each time there's something new that unfolds for me. What I love about it, it doesn't seem like there's segregation, you know, in terms of music.
No.
It's just a worldly perspective, and personally, that's how I like to look at music. You know, let's not segregate here. Music is either good or not so good. So,
well,
I don't like to categorize. But,
see, and people are so. They're so itchy to do that. But the thing is, Lisa, the same rules don't apply anymore. It used to be the case that, okay, maybe that was necessary if you were going to try to pitch a radio station, a terrestrial radio station, something that would fit their format. But now, my God, the sky is the limit. We've got all these internet accesses. We've got these folks thinking out of the box about, hey, let's just play it all, shall we?
And I think you have to these days. I mean, of course, there's people who love their smooth jazz, and that's all they want to hear, and I can respect that. But I think if you talk with most people, as I have the opportunity to talk to so many people because of being working with the public as you, when I talk to people, they want to hear all kinds of music. They have collections on their iPods and MPs, you know, CD collections. It's anything from rock to Motown to country to light opera. So I think people have a very broad sense of music and love different flavors. They don't have to like the chocolate or vanilla. They can like the rainbow flavor, you know.
That's right.
And that's how I like to look at music.
Well, you're too young to remember this, but those of us of a certain age do remember that at one time, especially on AM radio when we were growing up, we would hear everything. I know that I had a conversation with Emmylou Harris, who I adore, and Emmylou has had these interviews where she has said the same thing. She would be hearing a whole lot of things that would jolt her, and it seemed to blend because you had disc jockeys on the air who knew how to blend one song into another. So you would hear rockier stuff, then you would hear something that was country, something that was jazz, and it all seemed to flow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's happening again, and you have come out with this CD at the precise time, I think.
Well, there are definitely a lot of flavors on here. And
for me, it's
more about the messages within the songs. When I choose a song to sing, I don't really think about the genre. I think more about what's the song saying. Does it move me? Will it move people? Will it move others? Is it something I want to put out into the world? And that's really how I choose the songs that will go on my albums. But of course, we as artists and we in the business of music, you have to make it cohesive so that it can be quote unquote marketed. But it's hard, you know, when you're an artist, you don't want to think in terms of marketing. You just want to think of what inspires, what's going to give hope to the listener or move a listener. So that is the dilemma, but that is also reality, because we do need to market in the world of business. We do need to market these songs.
Yeah.
But again, artistically, you talk to so many artists, we just want to create. We want people to be reached. We want people to feel something when they hear the music.
Well, you and Jim, and I'll talk about him a few times because he's so significant. I mean, here is this Grammy and Oscar-winning singer and writer, and he found you, and he thought that he was King Midas when he found you, because here's this beautiful woman with this four-octave range, and, you know, with all the work that he had done with Ides of March and Survivor, he thought that you were the next chapter. Are you both on the same page that if he writes something, you immediately gravitate to that, or you come in and embellish that? How long does it take for you to figure out, both of you, that this is exactly what you want for the project?
Well, I want to first start by saying I think Jim Peterik is an extremely special artist and producer. He's a dear friend of mine, and the connection that we have is a very, I value it very much artistically,
mm-hmm.
and again, just as a friend. Love his family. When we met, it's been 9 years now. We've gone through many transitions, growing as friends, but growing also as a creative team, and it wasn't always easy. Now, we're so on the same page and so in tune with each other that when he introduces a new melody to me with a subject, an idea, a lyric, it's already, it's as if he has written it for me, because he knows me that well.
Wow.
We've shared so much together. You know, I know where he comes from. Like you said, we get each other.
Yeah.
So it's never very hard at all to finish a sentence, or to write a lyric to it, or to embellish, because it just feels like a glove. And when we first started working together, there were songs that I might have said, you know, this is real close, but I'd like to change this a little bit and make it fit this way or that way. But now, with the whole Acoustic Alchemy album, not one song was recorded in vain, meaning every song that we set out to record, to do, we completed it, recorded it. There was no fat. We didn't cut any songs out of the picture, because we really got the system down. With prior albums, we might have written, say, 20 songs for the album, and then only 11 make it. You trim the fat. But because we've worked together so long, it became very easy. Not a lot of downtime. So
that's,
to answer your question,
that's very easy.
Yes.
How about
mm-hmm.
That's once in a lifetime to be able to find that, because just as you said about the crew, when you find the people that make you feel comfortable, and yet they challenge you because mm-hmm. They get you, and you want to do better, not only for yourself, but you want to do better for them. When you have musicians around you and people who are working for you that really want to make you shine, you want to shine on your own, you want to shine for them, and then you have the icing on the cake, because you've got somebody who believes in you so much, and you believe in him, and the mm-hmm. artistry that you can combine is just mesmerizing.
That's so well said. That's beautiful. And I hope that listeners, as they're listening to the CD, can sense all of that. I think people who appreciate music are have these wonderful sensitivities about them and usually can pick up on something a little bit deeper in the music if they're open to it. There's a lot of wonderful chemistry going on there between the players and the production, a lot of care, and I'm just hoping that that's what's coming across, maybe on some subliminal, subconscious level.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be subconscious or not, because honestly, you sang your heart out. You sang each of these songs as if it was going to be the last song that you ever sang. You did, Lisa. I mean, a couple of times I got teary-eyed, and you know, the first time you listen to an album, you have it on in the background. So you're thinking, okay, I want to put a bookmark in that. I want to hear that song again. And then when you hear it a second or third or fourth time, you go, oh, I'm really feeling this.
That's great. And what I love about this album is taking it to the stage and having the treat of performing these songs, because it just not only works in the format of a CD where you can take it home or put it in your car or wherever. But boy, when I get the luxury of getting to perform these songs, and then the energy it creates in the room, it is a unique, positive energy because the people are there. They gravitate towards the music probably because they're looking for some kind of hope. They want to escape life for a while. And we're all feeling it. It's just a big, it's truly a love fest between what's going on stage and what's going on the audience. And so I always look forward to performing these songs.
Mm. Well, now you mentioned this earlier. I know that Acoustic Alchemy was doing their thing in the past year or so, and I know that they had some tour dates because a couple of guys I know in the D.C. area were working with Miles and Greg. So do you have any plans to do another show with them? Is that going to be something in 2013 at this point or what?
We're still working on that. There's nothing locked in at this point, but I certainly want to work with them sooner than later. It was truly a rich experience.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope so. My fingers are crossed.
Well, it looks like you've got some other things that have happened that didn't necessarily, I mean, this was a surprise, because now you've got these inspirational queries happening in Nashville, and if you've got something happening there, it will start there, and then there won't be a domino effect across the U.S. You probably know that, right?
You're saying there will be a domino effect?
There absolutely will be.
Well, it's feeling good so far. You know, I had several meetings with various people, you know, a PR person, and everybody's extremely excited about this project. And we're actually already have moved on to the Christmas album, you know, because you have to do that. And boy, we're going to start the music video for that September 14th, 15th, and 16th, and that's a pretty awesome subject matter. If I can go on to that, can we go?
Oh,
on to
my
year?
God,
that's
please?
Too early?
Yes. No, are you kidding me? No, look, it's September what? September 6th. Go ahead.
Well, you know, again, here's something I think it's very important to all of us. This song is called Before the Tree Comes Down. This is not something that I had written. I wish it were. This is written by a woman by the name of Krista Wells. And Jim Peterick produced it and came in and rewrote the chorus of the song. So here's what the song is about. It's about the perspective of military families during the holiday season.
Oh,
and
wow.
Boy, it hones in on what military families are feeling, and basically the whole premise of the song is, we miss you, and we hope we see you, we're going to keep the tree up until you come home, and which a lot of military families do. They keep the tree up all year round.
That's
until
right.
Their loved one comes home.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, as we're working on the video, I want to do it with respect, and I want to do it, trying to decide, okay, what uniform? Do we use an Army uniform, Navy, Marines? Who do we represent here when they're all equally important? Just little things like that when you're dealing with subject matters as great as this. And again, the emotions of military families. And I've been making phone calls to people who are military families. They do have a loved one. They do have a daughter overseas, or they do have a son. And to hear their personal stories, just how difficult the holiday season is for them, and now wanting to represent that not only through a song, but now visually through a music video, I feel like I've got a responsibility here. And I think it could be very moving at Christmas.
Oh, gosh, you will be.
And it's something we need to remember.
Oh, for sure. You will be instrumental in making it easier for people. I mean, they will cling to that video. That is an awesome idea, because it just seems like military families are getting center stage right now. But for a long time, I didn't hear about that. So this is pivotal right now. Is guys and gals, these women in uniform, are coming slowly home, and we're getting them out of harm's way as much as possible. This is a beautiful time in American history to do this, Lisa. Good timing.
Yes, and the whole purpose also is to show military families we're paying attention. We're paying attention to what you have to go through, and we hope that the troops get to see this and hear this, that we are missing you and we're thinking of you. So two big reasons right there. And anybody, all of us can relate to missing someone,
whether
it's military or not. So, and it makes us be less selfish around the holiday, where we're thinking about other people and what they have to go through during the holiday season, when you want your loved ones near you and they're fighting for our country, they're protecting us. So it just makes us a little more open-minded, I think.
That's a really beautiful scenario, and wow, that would take a whole other show to discuss it. But, you know, people feel so despondent many times around the Christmas season because they feel all alone. But honestly, there's no better way to not feel that way than getting involved with people who are less fortunate than you.
Absolutely.
My God, it's so many times my son and I have discussed this, because, you know, when he would get into a mode where he would say, well, I'm not going to get this for Christmas, I guess, I said, let's go to the hospital and see some sick kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then you'll understand
how blessed
you are.
Oh, absolutely. That's wonderful that you're doing that, Trish. My mom used to do that too as we were growing up. You know, when you'd fall into that selfish kid mode, you know, because you're the center of the world a lot of times when you're the kid.
Sure.
That's just being a kid. And my mom would often stop us in our tracks and do something similar to what you just did, where we would help the hungry. You know, she'd call attention to various things. I remember at the time when we were kids, Cambodia was big in the news, and you know, if we weren't eating our dinner, she'd say, let's think about the Cambodians, you know. But definitely around Christmas time, she'd heighten that type of awareness around the holiday season. When our minds were thinking about Santa Claus and we were thinking about what will we be getting? And, again, this is a normal kid thing, and you don't want to take that away from kids. But as long as it's balanced, you know, that the giving is equally, if not a lot better, to give during the holiday.
And you know what? There's a big push in Baltimore right now for making people aware of how important it is to have foster children. And there's a lot of people who, really want to be able to take in a foster child. And these are folks that are not necessarily young. I mean, I was thinking about it, too. Just so you could make sure that you impacted some child so that they would have a right foot going forward in life. And it was discussed at this public event a few weeks ago. This was such a cool idea, and it may help you with the whole Christmas project. But one of the adults was talking to a child that was in our midst, and the adult said, well, you know what? This year, we need to help Santa Claus out. And, you know, Santa Claus really needs your help, and he's got a lot to do, and if you could do your part in making sure you were one of his official helpers this year, that would be great. So that lends itself to all sorts of possibilities, you know?
Oh, sure, and I think a child really takes a lot of pride in that because the kids do want to help. They do want to have purpose and see what, you know, what they can do, all the things that they haven't done before.
Especially great. If it means something that is going beyond themselves, because mm-hmm. they'll never forget that lesson. Just like these military kids, when they don't have mom or dad around, they have to grow up quicker than other kids. And, man, it just, I'm buzzed. If you say that you're going to do this video shoot for 3 days, you're going to do it in and around the Chicago area, right?
In and around the Chicago area. And, of course, the challenges are, you know, it's supposed to be Christmas time and we're here in September, no snow. But, you know, even down to logistics in the video, there's a lyric in the video that says, she lines a box with the cookie she's made, writes a note to her love, and sends it away. So the character in the video is making cookies to send overseas. And in my mind, having never done this, I've never sent baked goods over to our troops. So I had no idea how long would it take to get baked goods to our troops. So I was talking to different military families so I can represent it visually in the music video. Well, they say you need to start baking those cookies in October and send them out in October. You know, right around Halloween, and boy, I didn't realize it would take that long. So, you know, in my mind, as we're storyboarding this video, I'm like, I guess we need to take the tree and any Christmas decorations out of that particular scene, and you know, add a pumpkin instead or a scarecrow. You know, it's just the logistics. Because I think a lot of military families, if they're watching this and it's not quite accurate, they're going to say, "Hey, that's not how it is."
Right.
And I want to represent them accurately.
That's
so
really beautiful. Oh, my gosh. That's exciting. And it will be, you think that the CD, what's the time frame for that to maybe be completed? Are we looking next year?
No, we're hoping for October 1st.
Are you really?
It's going to be an EP. We're not doing a whole album because the whole focus this year is going to be this song. And basically, we'll take old songs that I've done in the past for Christmas and just put out an EP. Brand New Hallelujah is actually going to be one of the tracks on this new EP. But also,
wonderful.
We're adding two music videos, and one will be Before the Tree Comes Down. So not only will you get the song, you'll get the video as well on this new EP, and you will also get Do You Hear What I Hear? I recorded that song last year, so you'll get that song and that music video. So that EP we're hoping to have out by October 1st is our target.
Great. Wonderful. And don't even hesitate, because I'll share that puppy all through the holiday season. I can't wait to see what you've done with you know, making sure these military families get a focus, because you know, it's interesting. You see how people are such ADD people these days, they're so scattered about what they want to prioritize. So this is so urgent for all of us, because you hear some people say one week, oh, military families, and here's what we're doing. But if it's not consistent, it gets lost in the shuffle. So this will be top of mind all through the holiday season when you do this video.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think it's going to mean a lot to military families. And it goes way beyond just the military families. I mean, it's a worldly view. We're all affected by this. And it goes far beyond probably subjects we don't want to get into, but the war, whether you're for it or against it, doesn't necessarily matter here. This is about family.
That's right.
That's what the song is about.
That's right. Well, I think that it's pretty timely that we should play The Best Is Yet to Come, then.
Oh, yes.
See, because it is.
It is. What perfect timing. Well, if I could say for those Acoustic Alchemy fans out there, this is normal. This was originally titled Ariane, and Greg had told me it's not Arian, but Ariane. He kept correcting me. So Ariane was the original title of this, and the melody came from Acoustic Alchemy's Blue Chip album back in 1989. And we renamed it Best Is Yet to Come.
Just love it. From Lisa McLowery Sings Acoustic Alchemy on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I have to quote my son when he heard Lisa McLowery sings Acoustic Alchemy. It's always one of those dry scenarios because T is a pretty dry guy. So Lisa, he turned to me and said, "That's some pretty pristine production."
Oh.
And
how
I went,
is he?
He's 20, and he's.
Yeah.
He's on the dean's list over at the community college, and he's always thinking out of the box because he's got Asperger's syndrome. So he's a different breed of cat, and he zones right into music.
Oh, pristine. I will have to pass that word on. I love it.
Pristine. Yeah, that
pristine.
Means top of the line, baby.
Yes, yes. I will let Jim know.
Yes, do
Jim
that.
Know about that.
My
That's
God.
Great. Tell him thank you.
Oh, he will love that. It's just, he knew it too. He said, this doesn't sound like anything else that you play for me. She doesn't sound like anybody else that you play for me. And I went,
that.
Well, and not cool. I mean, in and of itself, that would be awesome.
That's cool. And, you know, people in their 20s, they're pretty straight and honest.
Oh.
You know, with especially when it comes to music.
Oh, yeah.
My opinion, yes.
And see, that's
great.
Wonderful for you. Look, there are going to be all different ages that gravitate to what you have done here. Gosh, you're probably aware of that, and Jim certainly is too. But shoot, this could be marketed in so many different kinds of ways, Lisa. I'm just excited for you.
Thank you. I'm very excited too. I'm already seeing things like that unveil, you know, different age groups. There really is no one type of person who's buying this or writing me emails. It's all across the board, just people from all over. It's great. Not only just in America, I'm getting emails from Europe, and it's just so interesting to hear. It's a universal language. Music is universal.
Oh,
just,
yeah, gosh.
Glad everybody's enjoying it.
Oh, I didn't even think about maybe the UK or France or Japan. Oh, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
That's a whole different
mm-hmm.
story.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And kind of bridging here, going back to the Christmas song, there is talk of me going overseas to perform for the troops.
Oh,
so,
wow.
We're working on that. So one of the areas was Afghanistan. I have to say, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah,
but,
right, yeah.
There's a lot to consider here, so... But boy, it'd be such an honor to play for them.
And especially if you do that song, oh my gosh, there is not going to be a dry eye in that audience if you do that song, gearing up to a Christmas tree and leaving the Christmas tree. I've heard that so much through the years, leaving the tree up for daddy or mom returning
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
The song says, you know, I'm missing you. So it's that's what's definitely going on at Christmas time. That missing you gets intensified.
Oh, boy. Well, I have one question to ask you, and I'll let you go because I know you've got to be so tired after having come in from Nashville because you focus.
I've got my second wind talking to you.
Good
fun.
Yeah, it always has been. We've done this like three times now, and it's been really wonderful.
It has been, truly.
Yeah,
truly.
Yeah. So here's my question as an actress, having been at Temple University, having done forays into doing some theatrical work. Here you are, in case folks don't know or need to be reminded, that Lisa has done some work. She was the voice of the princess in Rugrats in Paris, and she also was part of The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. If you have heard the song Through the Eyes of a Child, you can thank Lisa McLowry. So my question to you is, do you miss acting? Do you want to get back involved in dabbling into that as well, or are you just so consumed with what you're doing with that gilded throat of yours?
I love music, and I love singing. That is my top priority. However, I have missed acting, and the music videos are my excuse to act.
Right.
So I look for ways to stretch my creativity during those music videos, because then I get to do both, you know. So, you know, when I approach a new video, I look at it and go, okay, what haven't I done yet? Or what do I want to portray in this video? So I'd like to do it more, but I'm very consumed with my music, and very grateful to be working as much as I do. It's just time consuming to, you know, do another tangent of the career, and that, you know, to try to get into acting. So I'm pretty fulfilled if I keep doing the music videos. If we stop doing the music videos, I'd get a little itchy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that does tide me over.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah. Oh, and you are going to enjoy doing this new one for the Christmas season. Oh my gosh, you really are going to get into this.
Well, I have to say, for this particular video, I am really downplaying what I do. I'm just the storyteller in this video, and we are bringing in two different families, one real family, you know, a father, son, and two little girls. I think that's just going to be so heartbreaking, you know, to see these two cute little girls and their dad is away at the military. And again, it's a real family. And then we have another family, a little boy, 10 years old, who is going to play the little boy that I sing about in the song. And we'll see how the war, so to speak, is affecting him.
Oh,
so we
wow.
get to see these perspectives from two families. But I just want to be able to represent other elements, not just dads who are away at the military, but there's women and, you know, moms also overseas as well, or just away from home and because
That's right.
of the military. And just I want to represent the different races and sexes we have out there. It's not just the male soldier out there.
That's for sure. Yep. Wow, that's really going to be, I'm really anticipating that. And by the way, you know, I can see who types what in the chat room as the interview goes on. So everyone is enjoying you, of course. And we have a particular gentleman who apparently has a sizable crush on you. So that is why he's here. I will not mention his name. But we also have Carol, who is with us in the chat room. And Carol has a lot to do with what's happening in Chicago. I'm not sure that she would want me to say her last name, but Carol oversees the career of a superstar that is based in Chicago. And she said that she has cried when she has seen your video Come Dancing.
Oh, I know exactly who this is. In fact, I'm playing with that superstar on New Year's Eve. We can say the name of the superstar.
Well, forget it then. We'll just mention it. It's Carol, and you're going to be playing with Nick Colione, really?
Nick Colione on New Year's Eve out in Philly. Actually, Michael Tazzi, your buddy, our buddy, arranged for that to happen, and we'll be New Year's Eve along with the band Zoe. Zoe is the band that will be backing us up that night. So Nick and I played together last year with Alex Zonchek, and so it's a lot of fun that we're getting to work together again this year. Rolling 2013.
Stop the music. I did not know that. Now, look, if you are going to be in my hometown, yes, if you're going to be there New Year's Eve, then I'm going to have to take my butt up to Sculler's in Boston to see East Bay Soul, turn right around, come back to Philly, and see you and Nick. That's just crazy.
Oh, my gosh, you have to. You have to.
That's crazy. I had no idea. I am so psyched. Oh, my God, you are going to be so – they're going to love you in Philadelphia.
Oh, I can't wait. Hi, Carol. I want to say hi, Carol. I don't know if she wants us to say her last name, so I won't say it. But, yes, Nick Colione, New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is, you've got to go.
Gosh.
You've got to go.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And the chat room, see, we made sure that we backtracked a little bit on Facebook, and I put it out there. So we have folks that are filling up a little bit thinking that you're on at 3 o'clock. I changed all the times.
Oh, no.
That's okay. They can hear it in archive. And it was a great start to the show. Honest to gosh, Lisa, it really was a kick in the pants because I was feeling a little tired, but you just kicked me right where I needed to be kicked.
You did the same thing for me. Seriously, I love this. I love talking to you. This is great. Seriously.
I do, too. I love talking to you, and I think that this is going to be some kind of last part of 2012 for you into 2013. This is going to be your time where you get to travel all over the world, and folks are going to be paying for tickets.
Well, certainly something feels like it's around the corner. It feels like the best is yet to come. No pun intended.
Yes. You can fully expect that. And you surround yourself with people who believe that, Lisa. So that's more than half of it.
Thank you. And it feels great to be doing something that's purpose-driven. You know, with my music, I always want there to be a purpose attached to it. So doing things that that's inspiring others, or, you know, hope, or something that helps us gets us thought-provoked. To me, that's what it's all about. For me, that's what the music is all about.
Yeah, well, you have that good heart. You have the best thing about a person is to have a childlike heart, and you do. Mm. And when people do, they seem to get rewarded in different ways that are just like continual blessings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, surround yourself with like people, and
yep.
It just keeps expanding. You know, it's for all of us.
That's
keeps
right.
Expanding the goodness.
That's right. And you're going to be expanding, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And you know darn right well that I'm going to end this hour with Beautiful Mess.
Yay! You look good in that shirt, by the way. I saw the picture. Very nice.
Well, that's because I was next to George Duke. That's why.
And he's tall, George Duke.
Well, you know what?
Either that or you're really short.
I am really short, and he just pulled me in a little bit, and I went, I just wish he would just keep on doing this for the next hour or so. I know, I'm so bad. So I want to let you know that I had something in mind, just so you know, so maybe you're listening as you try to recoup from your trip. But I want to play Beautiful Mess now, and I also love, love, love Visions of Marrakesh. I'm going to play that later in the show.
Thank you. Yeah, that is the one song on the whole album that I actually contributed the lyric to. All the other songs Jim had written solely lyrically, along with Acoustic Alchemy and their members. So that's an extra special one to me as well, because I had never been to Marrakesh, and neither had Jim. You know, to research it online, and then you get to fantasize what would Marrakesh be like if we went. So that was. The whole story behind that one.
It was a delicious little story unfolding, and it just is really a kick to be able to put these shows together to figure what would go well with something else. And I found Keiko Matsui and Bohemian Concerto, and I want to play them back to back.
Ooh, I love Keiko.
Oh my gosh. Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. And see, I see your music vocally the way I see her music instrumentally.
Oh, that's a big compliment. You know, when I first met her, what I loved about her was how humble she was.
Yes.
And she's very soft-spoken and humble, and then she gets up on that stage, and she's larger than life. Yeah, it's amazing. I really dig her.
And when she's on that stage, when she shoots a look to one of the guys in her band, they better be on it. It's great. Oh, she's like this little dynamo. She's
mm-hmm.
playing that portable keyboard in high heels. She's a trip. Oh, my God.
And she looks great. You know.
She looks great.
She's adorable. Yeah.
She is.
And way.
So are you. God knows.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And
I appreciate that.
You, I'm just amazed that you have contributed so much to the positivity in music and to breaking the barriers. I really mean that. And I think that you're going to get attention some places, Lisa, where you didn't expect it. And that's going to be very satisfying for those of us who love you.
Thank you. So you're saying I should, when I least expect it?
You are going to get the best surprises, and they're going to come out of the blue.
I love it.
Yep.
I like surprises.
Surprises are great if, you know, you get a call. Oh, by the way, Lisa, you're number one in the UK.
That would be
or,
nice.
You know, Johnny Depp is taking a breather from the States again. He's gone back to France. He's getting back together with his girlfriend. He wants to do a show, and he wants you to headline with him. You know.
That's nice. Ooh. Or Gary Sinise, because he's doing all the overseas things right now. Gary Sinise. What's Lieutenant Dan Band?
Tell me.
Really? So Gary Sinise, I fell in love with him during Forrest Gump.
Yes.
When he was playing Lieutenant Dan. And he's got a band that he focuses on playing for the troops. I mean, he does other things, but his main focus is performing for the troops. And, boy, that would be nice to team up with him somehow. Would love that.
Yes, let's make this happen. Okay, we're putting it out there.
Put the thinking cap on. Yes, putting it out into the universe.
Well, hey, all right. We'll talk to a few people, and we'll talk again within the week and see what we've come up with, because there's a lot of people now in the chat room, so maybe they'll do some fancy footwork for you, too.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Lisa, it always is, and we'll keep abreast of what's happening, and when the video comes to pass, for real, let's make sure that we push that.
I will get that to you, and I miss you already. I miss you already.
I know that feeling. Well,
and I want to see you act. Where can we see it?
Videos
anywhere? I want to see some of your acting work. You were acting for 4 years. Where do I see that?
Well, okay, I'll make the announcement here. There might be some new ones because I'm about to take another acting class here in Maryland. So we'll see.
you'll have to teach me some of the tips you learned.
Especially when it comes to Shakespeare. I focused on Shakespeare in at Temple.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So
first you have to figure out what they're saying.
Forsooth, yes.
That's a class in itself. What are they trying to say?
You'll get a big kick out of this because we had this feisty little drama teacher from New York, Joel Friedman. So he would talk like this, and he would say, "No, I don't want you to do that. That's too crass. I didn't have that in mind for Gertrude and Hamlet." So he would talk like this, and then one day after a particular scene, and you always held your breath because Joel did not tolerate foolishness. He said after a particular scene, he said, "Class, I want you to observe. Trish is not afraid of making an ass out of herself." It was the best. He just wanted you to come dancing with it, for lack of a better expression, and that seems to be the good one. But, yes, he wanted you to be honest and authentic.
Yes. You have to be honest to be a good actor.
That's right.
Honest and open and let it all hang out.
And be the beautiful mess that God created you to be.
Hallelujah. Brand new hallelujah.
I love it. Well, listen, you get rest, and we'll talk soon. And anytime you want to come back and do a little co-hosting thing, that'd be cool.
I would love that. I'll bake cookies. And
fabulous.
That'd be great.
All right.
See you on New Year's Eve.
You know what? I think that's a date. I do.
Okay.
Okay,
you
cool.
You all heard that. Everybody out there heard that.
Yeah. How about it?
Okay.
All right, Lisa, God bless. We'll talk soon.
God bless you. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lisa McLowry, oh, my God, let me tell you something. You just knew it was going to be cool, right? And the folks who came into the chat room late, I must tell you that Lisa and I thought this has been weeks in the making. We had her down for 3 o'clock. She went to Nashville, and whatever, something – maybe I lost something in the translation. That happens frequently. But we talked this morning, and she said, "Could we do this at 1 o'clock? I said, "Sure." So if folks are here to hear Lisa, who you expected to be on in the 3 o'clock hour, she's done her hour. She needs to rest now because I'm not sure she flew in or she drove in from Nashville. But you can hear this in the archives about an hour or so after the show ends live. So not to worry,
She was just wonderful, and we played a few songs, and we'll play a few more, including this one now by Lisa McLowry from her album, Sings Acoustic Alchemy. This is Beautiful Mess. Get the T-shirt. It's really cool. It does something for a woman's figure, if you know what I mean. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
of my baby lying there. He was stretched out on a long white table, so sweet, so cold, so bad. Thank you.
Rocky.
That is just nasty in all the best ways, isn't it? Oh, my Lord. Cassandra Wilson from Silver Pony. Woo! This CD gives me such a rush. Cassandra is just so multifaceted. It would be interesting to have a conversation with her. It would be, lofty, to say the least. She has done such extraordinary work through the years, and early 90s is when we really first heard about her, but she's been doing her thing for so long. That was Went Down to St. James Infirmary. That is an ugly song. If you listen to the lyric, oh, my gosh. One of those ancient songs that is just steeped in New Orleans voodoo. And you had Marvin Sewell on guitar there. Oh, so cool to hear this cat do his thing. One of the jazz critics said that he has a nervous guitar. I love that description. Cassandra doing her thing, multiple award winner that she is. She's going to be live at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be mentioning Georgia a few times. What is happening in hot ATL these days? Everybody and his mama are playing there. Cassandra's going to be there on the 1st of November. And in case you didn't know this, I always like to point out these interesting things about these artists that you may know something about, but not everything. First of all, she has got a venue called the Yellow Scarf in Jackson, Mississippi. She's from Mississippi, but makes her home basically in New Orleans these days. But she is here and there, all right? So Cassandra, she has input into the club. Now, whether she owns it or not, I'm not quite sure, but she's always talking on her Facebook page about who's going to be there. So if you get down to Jackson, that's the place to go, the Yellow Scarf. Secondly, in case you want to delve back into her earlier work, and I fully recommend that, she's got something new out that was just released a couple of months ago, but back when Wynton Marsalis did his project, Blood on the Fields, that was Wynton's first jazz project, or any jazz project, to win a Pulitzer Prize, and Cassandra Wilson had a leading role in that. So she has been dabbling in different kinds of endeavors through the years. She doesn't feel the need to be boxed into any category, although she welcomes you if you purchase her product like everybody else. But Cassandra Wilson, if you want to get a hold of something that's really funky and jazzy and bluesy, Silver Pony would be it because it's live. So you'll get a real feel. Nick Colleone. Ow, ow. Feel the heat. Man, the connection is doing so well from the CD. And what you heard was The Windy Dance. That song has already proven itself and has the whole compilation. It's just so wonderful to hear Nick and his varying sides. I love to hear Nick sing. Got to make sure that we get involved more into Nick singing because it's, man, it's throwback stuff, you know? Just love to hear men who know how to sing the blues with such passion. And you're going to feel a lot of that because just as Art Sherrod Jr. alluded to the other day, Art is going to be with Nick. Woo! What a combo! At the Dauphin County Jazz Festival that's coming up this weekend in Harrisburg. Harrisburg is a great place to see Nick because Harrisburg is like half Nashville, half Paris. It's a really wild town, beautiful, the capital of Pennsylvania, my home state. So I had gone back and forth from Philly to Harrisburg quite a bit. But this Dauphin County Jazz Festival had a lot of problems last year. I think the weather is going to be cool this year. Keep your fingers crossed. NickColleone.com has more information about where he'll be. And as you know, Nick is everywhere. I've never seen a guy who travels so much and always looks like the nines when he gets there. Everybody else needs to be put out of the room, but not Nick. Matching hat,
The suit's just right. The shoes are a different story. Can't say enough about the music or the man and the man's clothes. Nicole Leone. And we heard Lisa McLowry, Lord help us all, beautiful mess. You must get the T-shirt. I really do think we should have talked about this. There is a beautifulmess.com website, but you can go to Lisa McLowry, and that's MC, capital CLOWRY.com, and find out more information. So much is happening. So many people are playing, and we're going to try to get to all of it. Had to find another excuse to play Cindy Bradley. Because if you haven't heard this tune from Unscripted, which is not in the category that so many would like to put it in, Cindy does a wide swath of different kinds of music. She puts a spin on Footprints, a Wayne Shorter tune. That took some brass to do that, and she just cooked it. But I want you to hear the way she does this song. You don't know what love is? Woo! Get ready for this on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
As our friend Albert says in the chat room, one of the greatest pieces of jazz fusion ever written. Woo! I think Roy Ayers would have, I was going to say Roy Orbison. Roy Ayers would like to hear that. That was 1976. Now, just stop in your tracks and think that that song is 36 years old. Everybody loves the sunshine. Folks were just riveted when that came out, and I don't know if it's even more popular today, because it's one of those songs, any time that somebody even comes close to playing it, everybody stops what they're doing, they're either grooving or they're having a drink. It's just one of those magic songs that Roy Ayers and Ubiquity did so well. Had to play something by Roy. Because Roy is going to be 72 on Monday, and especially if my friend Gar is listening live or in the archives, I don't know what Gar and Roy have in mind, or Roy and our friend Ray Gaskins have in mind, but I guarantee you, Mr. Ayers is not going to be partying like a 72-year-old person. Wow. You know what? I just love this. The image of little Roy at the age of 5, given a set of mallets by Lionel Hampton. Can you imagine that? so that set the path for Roy and what he did, and his collaborations and the music that's in his mind that got translated via those vibes, something else. Also, on this particular album, got to do a shout-out to Philip Wu on pianos and synth. Philip is just looking so good these days. He's got an active Facebook account, and if you're not friends with him, give a shout-out. Here's one of those other little facts that you might not necessarily know about Roy Ayers. Roy was part and parcel of doing the music for the Pam Grier movie in 1973, Coffee. You go back and get that soundtrack and enjoy yourself, because there's some riffs in there that Roy will tell you about, depending on whether he tells you publicly or privately. There's a picture floating around of Roy and I at the Capitol Jazz Fest a couple of years ago, one of my favorite pictures. He just is the slyest cat in the world and still is cooking when he's out and doing his thing. He and Ray Gaskins have been doing a lot of work together, and you know, Ray was on the show a few months ago, so we'll have to catch up and see what's happening with Roy and him. Everybody loves the sunshine. We heard, too, from our buddy EC3, Mr. Coleman, doing his thing on drums from Her Eyes at Sunset. That was Waters of March, and we spoke about Atlanta earlier. EC's got a huge show coming up on the 28th and 29th in Atlanta at Churchill Grounds. This is going to be a live video shoot, so everybody's got to get dressed up. You got to take a page from Nick Corleone now and make sure you come in your best, because you're going to be photographed, and there's going to be a live CD. So EC is going back and forth to D.C., finishing up what he needs to finish up with a beautiful lady he's producing, Tia, and then he'll go back to Vegas, and then he'll go back to Atlanta. Just a busy guy, lots of things happening for EC, but you need to pick up Her Eyes at Sunset so you can have that in your schematic of things. And I say schematic because we're going to be hearing from Tom Lagana, one of our illustrious local based guitarists who's got a story, as so many of these men and women who are artists, jazz, etc., based in Baltimore, D.C., Philly, Virginia. We're going to turn our attention to another one. Did we get to everybody? Did we? Oh, Cindy! Oh my gosh, we didn't mention Cindy. Cindy, you don't know what love is from Unscripted. I want to make sure you know that Ms. Bradley on that beautiful pink trumpet will be at the Kettle Moraine Jazz Festival in Wisconsin coming up, and the Sandpoint Park Festival in Titusville, Florida. So she'll get a chance to be with our friend Randy Bennett at the Groove, hopefully. He'll get his tail over there and see Miss Cindy. And if you haven't picked up Unscripted yet, please do. It is one of those satisfying CDs, more than meets the eye. I believe in this woman so much. CindyBradley.com has more info. David Bach, B-A-C-H, just like Johann Sebastian Bach, there is a lineage there. Yes, David is actually part of that whole Bach family, and he's got that feel on the keyboard, some strong classical, some strong jazz, and there's a meeting of the minds as far as those genres are concerned. You'll hear it a little bit in this. Love to play David. David's playing everywhere in the area, and we'll get to those dates. This is the Sting song, Wrapped Around Your Finger. You'll like this. From David Bach's A Deep Breath on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Well, now, normally I wouldn't break after two songs. It's usually three, but we've got somebody with a 202 area code, so this should make for some interesting, in quotes, radio when I go to this call, because I have no idea who this person is. But who you just heard is Boney James from Shine, along with George Duke. You know I'm going to try to find an excuse to play George, right? Actually, it makes sense because Boney James opened up for the Clark Duke Project on the 29th at Wolf Trap, in case I didn't tell you. And I know Boney's had a couple of CDs out after that, but I wanted to play that track because it's the most fabulous track on Shine, The Total Experience. And we heard, too, David Bach, who, along with some other swell types in the area, Dennis Chambers and Scott Paddock and Juju House and Gary Granger, all part of that A Deep Breath CD you heard wrapped around your finger. And David is going to be at Sullivan's in Baltimore coming up in the next few days, actually also in Reston, Virginia at the Great Grapes Wine Festival and at the Maryland Wine Festival. You need to go to David Bach, B-A-C-H, music.com and find out more. And here we go. I'm just taking a chance. It might be the same clown that tried to disrupt the chat room last month, but I have no idea. Hello, 202 area code. This is Trish.
Hello, Trish. This is your favorite drummer in the world calling.
Oh, you're being awfully presumptuous, aren't you, EC?
let me rephrase that. This is one of your favorite drummers in the world.
I'm so glad it was you. I'm so glad to hear you because we had somebody who called last month and he got obscene in the chat room.
Oh, well, that's definitely not me.
No, I know. So, okay, you want to fill us in on what's going on with you?
Well, what's going on with EC? Wow. A lot of traveling. Got some really good dates coming up, Trish.
I know.
Yeah, I'm doing a in-live concert video DVD kind of a deal. They're going to be shooting that on me on the 29th of September at Churchill Grounds in Atlanta, which Churchill is the premier jazz spot in Atlanta. So I've been there probably, played there four or five times, and very fortunate for me, I've sold out every time. So it's gone. I have a very, very wonderful fans in Atlanta. So I'm looking forward to going back to Atlanta. I'll be there September 28th and 29th, and then I'm doing a Scottish Rite jazz concert series on the 27th of September.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so a busy few days, but some really good music that I'm bringing to Atlanta, so I'm very excited about it. And then I'm also getting ready to start recording my new record, so I'm getting ready to start on that at the end of the month. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, cool. And, you know, your timing is really wild. Did you just hear me play about 10 minutes ago a track from Her Eyes at Sunset?
I did not. I just clicked on just a few moments ago.
Well, I did, and I went through the litany of what you just went through right there, and I made sure people knew. So they got a double
dose
of EC.
What song did you play off the CD? Do you recall?
Yes, of course. I love the way you do Waters of March.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great tone.
And you have an affinity toward those rhythms of Brazil, and I gravitate to what you do.
I do.
On those
I
drums.
Do.
Yes.
I love the rhythms of Brazil and Africa. Yes, I love them. Have a serious passion for them.
I know, and it's evident. So I just thought, well, you know, what I'm going to do is, and as a matter of fact, I made it a point to have that song follow Cindy Bradley, and there was the contrast of that trumpet and the beautiful production you had on that song, and it just sounded great. And guess what I played right after that?
What did you play right after that?
Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves the Sunshine.
Oh, I love that. That's a classic.
I know.
That's a classic. That's one of those songs that'll never die. That's a classic.
Yeah, how about that? 1976. That's 36 years old, EC.
We did the jazz festival together, as a matter of fact. Roy was on, I think he was on there the same night I was, I believe. But we were on the same stage during the Atlanta Jazz Festival a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was
there.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yes.
You know, I was just telling folks that there's something happening in the water in Atlanta because a lot of folks are doing gigs there all of a sudden.
Oh, okay. A couple of things have opened up there. I mean, it's you know me, Trish, and my traditional roots. There's not a whole lot of traditional jazz stuff going on. There's some. Yeah, I will say there's some. There's definitely some. And maybe it's getting better because I don't spend very much time there anymore. But so you know, maybe it is picking up some. I would hope so.
Well, I think it is. Lisa McClowery was my guest, and she was on during the first hour.
Okay.
And we were talking about Chicago, and she's got some regular gigs there. And we were talking about what's happening with her later on this year. And it just seems that in doing the research for the artists whose music I'm playing, I'm seeing some festivals and some venues I hadn't seen last year.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign. I like to hear that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I like to hear that, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it may be even the case, EC, where some of these places have been established, but maybe they haven't played jazz before.
Right. Now, there is a new venue there that I'm actually going to be playing October 27th. And it just opened. It's only been open, I think, maybe 7 or 8 weeks now. It's called the Velvet Note.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is a very affluent part of Atlanta. And I will be there October 27th for two shows. And that is a new venue. It's a very small, intimate venue where you go and have dinner and cocktails and watch a show. But it's like they call it the acoustic living room is what they call it, because it's basically like you're sitting in a living room performing, because the audience is right up on you, sort of like Bohemian Caverns. It's like right there, they're right there in front of you. You can reach out and touch the audience. So I'm very excited about playing the Velvet Note as well in October.
Well, you know what? You just described pretty much Ram's Head. And I'm taking note of who's going to be there in the next month or so. And I saw that our friend Earl Clue
going.
Yes. So if you're in D.C., I'm going to have to get EC and take him over to Ram's Head so you can see that place.
Where is Ram's Head? Where is that?
Ram's Head is in Annapolis, Maryland. And it's a beautiful venue. Actually, it was voted the top venue for seating, like, say, under a certain number. I don't know how it's divvied up, but it's the best in its class. There's not a bad seat there. Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'd like to play there.
Oh, you need to talk to folks, and we'll make it a point to see if you decide to come and see any of the acts. If you go to Ram's Head on stage and see who's going to be there in the time that you're back and forth to D.C., you might want to check it out.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I still want to come to Baltimore, Trish. I want to work Baltimore. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the call. I want to come. I haven't even been to Baltimore yet, but I want to come.
Oh my
and
God!
I want to perform in Baltimore. I've heard such wonderful things about the people of Baltimore. I want to come and perform there. So I'm putting it out again.
Well, look, there's a new venue that just opened up. Actually, there's two that opened up in Baltimore. So we'll talk about them.
Okay. Good enough.
Okay.
Good enough. Fair enough.
All right, now you got to come to Baltimore first so we can hang out at Phillips, because you got to get introduced to really fabulous seafood.
I am so waiting to do that. You just have to let me know when your schedule permits, and we will have to make that happen.
I really look
forward to that, though. Yes, definitely.
All right, good, because you need to make sure that you remain healthy. And how do you remain healthy? Good seafood.
There you go. We'll do it real soon, Trish.
Okay, cool. And I'm glad you mentioned the dates again, and I'll make sure that I post the Churchill gig on my page, so remind me, all right?
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Trish. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. That is EC3.
I know what happened to EC 1 and 2, but I got EC 3 that was on the line with me. Oh, my gosh. There is a lot happening in the region. Baltimore, D.C., no joke. And we just happened to mention Annapolis, and a gentleman that is based in Annapolis who's just fantastic on guitar. Matter of fact, he was the protege of Charlie Byrd. And if I have to refresh your memory, I will. Charlie Byrd, just an amazing figure in the D.C. area. And the pivotal reason why there was this huge outcry for more Brazilian music. We just talked about this with EC, but Charlie Byrd was the person who tapped Stan Getz on the shoulder and said, I think you need to come to the house tonight and hear what I've heard from Brazil, because I brought a bunch of stuff with me. Stan came over to the house. Stan said, let's go with this. So Charlie Byrd and Stan Getz made Jazz Samba. And the rest is history. So when Charlie Byrd heard Tom Lagana, he went, woo, I dig this cat. So this is one of those songs that's a standard. It's from Tom Lagana's Schematic CD from a couple of years ago on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you. the light of love comes stealing into a newborn day. Flaming with all the glow of sunrise, a burning kiss is stealing a vow that all betray. For the passions that thrill love and take you high to heaven are the passions that kill love. The light that gave you glory will take it all away.
Had some voices today. Oh my gosh, and right out of the box at 1 o'clock, Lisa McLowry. Woo! Just really gravitating to the strength of vocals that women have these days. The women who just put it out there and it's up for grabs. It's a sense of fearlessness. Oh, I just love it. Diane Reeves among them. Softly as in a Morning Sunrise from Diane's I Remember CD back in 1991. Now, that song was originally written for a 1928 operetta, yes, by Sigmund Romberg and Oscar Hammerstein.
The operetta was called The New Moon. And people have been singing that song ever since, and it's just so haunting in the right set of vocal chords. And I just love that version by Diane, and just got refreshed about Diane and all her accomplishments, because part of the really fun time that we had after the Clark Duke show on last Wednesday, the 29th, at Wolf Trap, we went to an all-night diner, a whole table full of us, and George got to talking a little bit about his cousin Diane Reeves. And it just made me realize that, you know, there's something that must be in some family's blood. What is it? But she is just so magnificent and just spreading her wings. She is part of an ensemble called Sing the Truth. If you go to singthetruth.net, you'll see that Diane is aligned with Angelique Kidjo and Liz Wright. They are making sure that female voices, as I said, those strong female voices, get heard anew. And we're talking about Miriam Makeba, Odetta, Abby Lincoln, Billie Holiday. All three of these superbly talented women are making sure that you hear the voices that you'll gravitate to. It will whet your appetite to go back and make sure you hear the vintage stuff that these amazing pioneering women put forth. I'm just so glad that Diane is doing this. Just a real amazing kind of gesture and homage to the women that have paved the way for unbelievable talent like Diane Reeves. And gosh, Diane is just touring all over the place. I'm so happy to see that. Not that long ago, she was at in Washington at the newly revamped Howard Theater, and I didn't get a chance to go see her, and that's my fault, but we'll correct that later on. Emily Remler, we heard from, one of the great guitarists of our time. Wow, just beautiful stuff from 1988, East to West. Emily was one of those gals. She was born in 1957. She got immersed in Jimi Hendrix and Johnny Winter. Then she went to Berkeley, and she was bowled over by Joe Pass and John Coltrane, Wes Montgomery for sure. And Herb Ellis heard her when she made the move from New York and then Boston, and then she went to New Orleans. She got together with him. He thought that he was going to be hearing this fledgling guitarist who wanted to seek his advice. When he heard her, he said, "I am just so blown away. I'm hearing one of the great guitar players of our time." So Emily did not get a chance to come to full fruition as she could have, even though she had stints with Larry Coryell and Rosemary Clooney and had played with some of the best cats in the music world. She passed away at the age of 32 from heart failure. Woo! That just breaks me up to hear about that when I hear her. And then when you go to a website called allthingsemily.com and read about her full story, it's just amazing. This was one of those gifted people that we lost too soon. Once again, a reason to tell you to treasure who and what you have in your life. Whew, my gosh. Tom Lagana, L-A-G-A-N-A, jazz and classical guitarist, also has been known to dabble on the tenor banjo. So amazing. Instructor, songwriter, an author of pieces on Pat Metheny, just an amazing guy on that stringed instrument. And if you're in the Annapolis area, you can see him at Jalapenos. He's there regularly. Just great. He did All or Nothing at All, a standard from his Schematic CD. And hopefully, just like we did a couple of years ago, maybe we'll get a chance so you can hear him do his thing on this particular show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. It's about 34 past the hour, and once again, if you're tuned in, you knew initially that maybe Lisa McClowery was going to be with us this hour, but she made that trek from Nashville. Matter of fact, when we talked to her at the 1 o'clock hour, she had just arrived about 15 minutes ahead of time, so she is probably stretched out on the couch right now. Making the trek from Nashville to Chicago is not easy, and whether she was doing it via plane or driving, I think she may have been driving. That's a pretty exhausting stretch. So we're going to get into maybe we'll feature Lisa in this particular set. I'm not sure, because you get things changed around when an artist says, oh, can I do it this hour and not this hour? So I think we're going to start off with something by our friend Paul, a.k.a. Schiltz. How about that? Let's do it, shall we? Haven't heard him for a while. I like this title track so much from his latest CD, All Grown Up. This is Schiltz.
Go on, son.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Sometimes at night while I'm dreaming, caught up in my indigo world, I'm a hippie trail on a trip where I'm not your typical girl. The streets are deep, sterile, clouds are acrobats and native dress. With the rock and moon shining low and visions of Marrakesh. To the narrow streets I am drifting, playing the part of somebody else. People smile and ask me where I'm from, but I can't explain myself. Come on now, take me, a passion to break free. Just move with the rhythm, love opened my eyes.
Lisa McLowry sings Acoustic Alchemy. Man, that song just makes my hair stand on end. That four-octave range she has. So passionate on this CD. Oh, Lord, she brought Acoustic Alchemy songs to life, and I thank her for spending as much time as she did. At the top of the show, that was wonderful. It's always a good time. She's got such great vibes. She really does. Beautiful on the outside. Beautiful on the inside, and she is a businesswoman now, too, because she's got those T-shirts, and they're doing well. Now she's thinking of a different color. The Beautiful Mess T-shirt, by the way, is black with gold, so she was wondering aloud what color she should do next time. So if you have a suggestion, make sure you go to Lisa McLowry, www.jazzbrothertrish.com or her Facebook page, and she'll be glad to listen to you. She always does. Oh, yes. What else did we hear? Oh, yeah. We heard Keiko Matsui. I was looking at my notes because we missed a song, so now I have to cover my tracks and make sure you know about two things. Keiko Matsui, Bohemian Concerto from the Road, dot, dot, dot. Keiko, busy as all get out. She is going to be doing this wonderful Autumn Rhapsody event. The Asia America Symphony Association and Guild, the Bravo Awards Gala on the 23rd. Sounds wonderful. If you go to her website, Keiko, KeikoMatsui.com has more info. She's going to be in New York at B.B. King's. She's going to be at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, Ramshead, also L.A., Atlanta, Florida. You might want to check her out. And if you've never gone to a Keiko concert before, oh, Yolanda Bell and I were just talking about this. There is nothing like a Keiko Matsui event. And Lisa and I were talking about this, too. This little, tiny, beautiful woman in her high shoes, in her garb, in her exotic hair, playing the portable keyboard, playing the baby grand. Woo! It's just a trip to see her. And we also heard from Schultz from London, England, don't you know? Schultz, working in the studio with another sax player, and he's keeping real mum about that. Not his mother, mum, but mum as in quiet. And just so you know, a little background on Schultz, in case you hadn't heard him on Cool Jazz Conversations interviews, because we've done a couple of them. He has been playing with, through the years, of course, Down to the Bone, and he reluctantly quit the group a couple of years ago to break out on his own. But Breathe, the group Breathe, yes, David Bowie, some say Bowie, some say Bowie, some say, you know, that guy, Jimmy Page, yes, and a veritable plethora of rock folks, not only jazz, but rock as well, and has something in common with somebody else that we played earlier, Emily Remler. Schultz also played with Rosemary Clooney. So he's got that bigger-than-life presence. He's so bloody funny. And what you heard was the title track from his All Grown Up CD. Now, I wanted to play something that was Greg Adams-oriented, and I didn't get to the Tower of Power song that I wanted, but I will next time around. We're not going to have a show on Tuesday because I am going to be observing September the 11th. So we'll have a show next Thursday, and that will be with Dee Lucas. That will be delightful. So let me tell you about this. There's only a handful of days left for East Bay Soul and their Kickstarter project. Go to Kickstarter.com, find out how you can help. Let's see if we can fund this East Bay 3 project. The music is just so powerful and entertaining and up and jazz-oriented with a brilliant trumpeter and arranger in the background of all this, who is Greg Adams, of course. Kickstarter.com. Type in East Bay Soul and you'll find out more. Also, I need to point out to you, since I just spoke about Yolanda Bell, our friend, her domestic violence benefit show in honor of her sister, Deanna Bazemore, is happening on Friday, October 26th. On that show, Gail Johnson, Archerod Jr., who you just heard the other day, and Dee Lucas, who is going to be my guest next Thursday, will all be a part of this, and some empowering spokespeople, some exciting spokespersons who will be speaking to you about warning signs and everything that you need to know in order for you to understand how this has a beginning and how we don't want it to have an end. So, October 26th is that date. Make sure that you pay attention in the weeks that are coming up, in the days that are coming up. I'm going to be talking about that. Tracy Hamlin's event coming up at the end of the month at Magoobies in Timonium. TracyHamlin.com has more. If you're friends with her on Facebook, make sure you find out. I'll be hosting that event. lots of things. And Nita King has a huge event coming up as well. It looks like things are cooking in the area, and whether they are just standalone events because folks are performing or whether they're for benefit events, I'm going to make sure I let you know. Don't forget EC3, EC Coleman, and his wonderful band are going to be in Atlanta. That's coming up at the end of the month as well. EC has a website, and the more I think about what Art Sherrod Jr. said the other day, the more I think he's right. Your website is a calling card, and the Facebook thing is groovy, but not a lot of folks, not everybody goes to Facebook, certainly not everybody goes to MySpace. So a standalone website is the place to have for one-stop shopping about what an artist has done and what they are going to be doing in the way of events. So there's my little thought for today. Thank you to everybody who joined us in the chat room. I see Mr. Gitlin has just joined, Matt, and Debbie for a while, and Griselda, and Beej, and Albert, and Yolanda, and Carol earlier. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. And make sure you remember 9/11. God bless you. God bless us, everyone.